Wisdom, let us attend, let us listen to the Holy Gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to Saint Matthew. Let us attend. The Lord said this parable, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So come on a treasure hunt with me. Let's find the reality veiled by the talent in this morning's parable. I think actually that all the clues we need are given in the parable itself. It says the kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a journey. The man is the Lord Jesus Christ. His journey is to the cross, and in his holy resurrection, up to heaven. The man's return is the Lord's coming again, when he will hold us to account for the talents that he gave us. Now, before he departed on his journey, it says that this man called his own servants, his own. This takes us to the Gospel of John. He came to his own, and to as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God. Because the talents look exactly like this power that the Lord gave to those who received him, I believe that the talent is the power of the Lord's Holy Spirit, given to his own, to those who receive him, that they might become children of God. Here too then, to become a child of God, here is the given the goal of trading with the talents. But before we get to that, it says this. He says, he gave to them. And then it translates it in the English as, gave to them his goods, or his material possessions. But the word in Greek is a very important word in the history of Orthodox dogma. It's the word huparkonta. You can pardon my North Carolina accent. Huparkonta, which literally means what begins or comes forth from below, or what exists underneath. That may seem a far stretch to from material possessions, but I could take you step by step and you would see how we can get from this meaning, what comes up into existence from below, and how it comes to mean material possessions. But here in its literal meaning, what begins or comes forth from below, or what exists underneath, it denotes theologically the root principles of nature. So it's a word that you encounter frequently in the theology and in the philosophy of the Church Fathers. Often this word was used with the word hypostasis, another Greek word, which means that which stands underneath. This word, hypostasis, that which stands underneath, came to signify in the history of Orthodox dogma, and it came to be sanctified as the word that signifies the person of Christ. And in the Orthodox tradition, the hypostasis, the person of Christ, is not the mask that's outside, that he wears outside. The person is the inner identity. It's the I am, it's the who of Christ. Like a gate, then, this word that is translated in our parable as material possessions, huparkonta, this word opens this parable onto a path that goes down into the mystery of being itself. It shows the Lord as the man in this parable, giving to his own who receive him the goods or the riches that are his own, as talents, which are the power of his Holy Spirit to become a child of God. It says that this man gave his goods. This is the word in the Greek that is translated into English and Latin as tradition. Tradition, traditio, what is given. St. Paul uses this word to show how we receive the Eucharistic tradition of the Church. He says, I was given from the Lord what I gave to you. All of this is the same word that we have in this morning's parable. That on the night that he was given over to the scribes and the Pharisees, and then he goes on to recount the institution of the Holy Supper, of the Holy Eucharist. This is also the word that we find in St. John for the moment of the Lord's death. When Jesus had received, it's translated differently, but it's the same family of words. When the Lord Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And inclining his head, he gave up his spirit. Same word. Now, in Deuteronomy, Moses says to the Israelites, he says, behold, the Lord has given the land before you. Same word. Now go in and inherit it. But we read in the Psalms, it says, the Lord himself is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. So, when the Lord, as the man in this morning's parable, gives of his substance in the form of talents to his own servants. What he is doing is giving to them the power of his cross to go in and to inherit the inheritance that he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which isn't the land. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God. Whoever receives him, receives from his substance, is given by him from his own substance, from his own riches, the riches of his Holy Spirit, he is given a talent, a unit not of monetary value, but of eternal value. It is the power of Christ's Holy Spirit given to his servants, given to his own who receive him, that they might inherit the risen Lord Jesus Christ himself, so as to become a child of God, an heir of the promise, and a partaker of the divine nature. This talent was given to each one of us at our holy baptism. It is given to us again and again as our food and drink in the cup of Holy Eucharist. As we sing after receiving from the cup, we have received the Heavenly Spirit. I think we could just as easily sing, we have received this talent from the Lord. And let us understand that this talent that we receive at our baptism and that we receive in the Holy Eucharist is the very same Holy Spirit that was given to Adam when God breathed into Adam's face, breathed into his heart, into his spirit, into his self, and Adam became a living soul. Or as St. Luke says in his gospel, a son of God. This talent given to the Lord's servant then is of God's own substance, his own hyperkanta, is from his own goods, his own riches, his own wealth, which is his divine nature. It's a unit of ultimate and eternal spiritual value given freely to his own who receive him. This talent then is the treasure hiding in the field of our soul, for it is the power of the Holy Spirit that stamps us in the image of Christ. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that finishes us as living souls. It completes or perfects us as children of God. With this talent, we are able to become what we are at the beginning or at the root of our earthly existence in this world. This is the talent that was taken away from us in the disobedience of the first Adam, as it was taken away from this servant in this morning's parable. But now it is given again in the obedience of the second Adam, who is the man in this morning's parable. It says that this man gave talents to each of his servants, each according to each one's own, and it's translated as ability. But the word in Greek is dunamis, and you know that word. Dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. All of these are from this Greek word dunamis. He gave to each one according to his own dunamis. And dynamis, is often translated, it often has the meaning in the Holy Fathers as potential. It's translated into Latin as potentia. And so from there, the Latin potentia is capturing this meaning that it has in the Greek as potential. So it has the meaning of potential or capacity. So he gave to each one's own potential. He gave to each one's own capacity. Now, Origen of Alexandria in the 3rd century gave as man's primary principle, his primary principle that defines who and what he is, he gave it as our having been created in the image of God. That's what defines us, our having been created in the image of God. That's what we are. We are these creatures that have been made in the image of God. St. Didymus the Blind of Alexandria, he was early 4th century, and he was a student of Origen. He went on to define this image of God that we have been made in the Latin that's given. I don't think his writings are in the Greek, they're in the Latin, as capax Dei, or the capacity for God. That's what it is to be in the image of God, is to exist in the capacity for God. In other words, a capacity to receive God. The primary principle of our nature, then, our having been made in the image of God, is an innate capacity to receive God, so that to receive God into our body, into our soul, our mind, our heart, to receive God is not at all alien to us. In fact, it is most natural. And we become what we were created to be. What were we created to be? Well, this would be scandalous if I told you. So I will let the Lord speak. He says it in the Psalms. And again, he says it to the Pharisees in John chapter 10. He's quoting from the psalmist and he says, I said, who said? God said, I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High. You want to check it out? Psalm 81:6 in the Septuagint. So he gave to each of his servants according to his potential, or according to his capacity. This puts us in the mystery of our having been created in the image of God, the principle of our nature that makes us who and what we are. But having fallen away from God through disobedience, we have become estranged, not just from God, but even from ourselves. We have become estranged from the very principle of our own nature. And as a result, we are weak, if not dead altogether, with respect to our love for God. And so our potential, while according to the principle of our nature, is infinite, in our sinfulness, our potential is now measured by how much we desire to love God. And God knows our desire, and his mercy is shown in that he does not demand from us more than what we can give. And so to one servant he gives 5 talents. To another servant he gives 2 talents. To another servant he gives 1. But we are given these talents for a purpose. We're not just to hold on to them. We are given these talents in order to, as it says, as it's translated, it says to trade with them. But again, we go to the Greek and it doesn't say, I mean, you could, yeah, to trade, of course. But the word in the Greek means in order to work them. We are given these talents in order to work them. And now we're put into the same setting, you know, as Adam being placed in the garden, in order to work it. And the Lord Jesus Christ telling the Pharisees, I have a work to do. And what is that work? It's to destroy our death so that we can become children of God. And so he gives us these talents. The Lord gives to us this power of the Holy Spirit so that we can work them. See, he's not going to force us to become children of God if we don't want to be. So he gives us these talents and he gives us this power so that if we want to become a child of God, we can take this talent and we can work it. How do we work it? By practicing obedience to the commandments of Christ. And look what happened. When the talents were worked, they increased. Each servant who worked his talents found that those talents increased. His capacity for God, you could say, was actualized. And this also actually is conveyed in the Greek word, you know, that they worked them. It also can mean they actualized. They actualized the potential of the talent that was given to them. They actualized it by working it, and in the image of the church, in the theology of the church, that means that they practiced obedience to the commandments of Christ. So we could say that when they worked the talents and the talents increased, it meant that their potential for God increased, which means that their heart was enlarged. They could be given more. And if the interest earned from the talents was to be worked again, would not the heart be enlarged even more? And that word for enlarged also is instructive. It's translated as enlarged or widened. Actually, widened is a better translation. It's the word that, in, you know, it's from that word, the word for plane. So it's like the heart that's constricted because of its, you know, of all the chains that hold it from its sins. As it's obedient to Christ, those chains and the bars of iron and the doors of bronze are cut off and they're smashed, and the heart comes out into a wide place that is wide as God. So the heart is enlarged, the heart is widened. It goes into the depths of God and it receives God. Behold the marvel then. Behold the marvel and the value of these talents given us by the Lord when we receive Him and take up our cross to follow Him. We work with these talents to deny ourselves and we gain God. We work these talents to lose our life and we gain Christ, who is Himself the resurrection and the life. We work these talents to put to death what is earthly in us, and we gain the holy resurrection of Christ in heaven and the kingdom of heaven in light and approachable. We work these talents to decrease, that Christ may increase, and our hearts are enlarged, they're widened out in the unfathomable abyss of divine love that abides forever. So now we can see that the servant who dug a hole and hid his talent in it, this servant is the one who receives the Holy Spirit and the sacraments of the church and makes little, if any, effort to take up the work of faith, the work of the cross, the work of denying oneself, the work of putting to death what is earthly in oneself, the work of laying hold of one's desire, of one's heart, and turning it to face Christ. This servant does not deny himself to fight the law of sin that is active in him. He makes no effort. He does not turn away in repentance from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He digs a hole. A hole is dark. He hides the talent there. It's as though the parable is saying that this servant loves the darkness more than the light. And this makes him lazy. Makes him lazy and cowardly. So that he prefers to drift with the current, indulging himself in the sweet things of life. And this in turn deadens his heart so that he has no interest in the rumor of an ineffable sweetness of the Lord's eternal substance, the hypocanta of his eternal body, of his eternal beauty. The servant does not want to become a child of God, and so the Lord, when he returns, gives him his wish, and he becomes eternally a child of darkness. Great Lent approaches, brothers and sisters. We're 6 weeks away. We can begin even now to start preparing the way of the Lord in our souls by working to form in our mind, through prayerful vigilance, a resolve, even a desire, to take this talent that we have been given and to work it in the disciplines of Great Lent, to follow Christ into the wilderness of our soul, to confront ourselves and to start working to put to death all of those things in us that are earthly, those things that have sprung up in our soul from choices that we've made, bad choices we've made, habits that we have formed through choices that we have made, and to follow Christ to his holy cross in order to put to death what is earthly in us, with the goal of becoming one with him in the tomb of our heart. so that we meet him in the tomb of our heart. But there we find what? We find that our heart is suddenly transfigured in its holy resurrection into a bridal chamber. And our heart is enlarged. And we find ourselves being finished, made complete, as we are raised by the Holy Spirit from above to become children of God. Glory to Jesus Christ. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Amen.